grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you wonderfully created the dignity of human nature, and yet more wonderfully restored it. In your mercy, let us share the divine life of the one who came to share our humanity, Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
The first reading from Isaiah. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as garden causes what it sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest, until her vindication shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 148 responsibly. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise God in the heights.
Praise the Lord, all you angels. Sing praise.
Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Sing praise, all you shining stars.
Praise the Lord, heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, who commanded, and they were created.
Who made them stand.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you see monsters and all deeps.
By your hands.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Wild beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds.
Sovereigns of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the world.
Young men
and praise the name of the Lord, whose name only is exalted, whose splendor is over earth and heaven. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Galatians. When the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child, and if a child, then also an heir through God. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what was stated in the law, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory of your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiping there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of the Lord was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Luke is continuing our story of the birth of Jesus. Here we are about 40 days after Jesus' birth, and Mary and Joseph are performing the duty that is required by them as faithful Jews of going to the temple and offering a sacrifice, consecrating their child to the Lord. They must have been in a very reverent, maybe even solemn mood that day, like many young parents who bring their child to the church for baptism. I would expect that they were startled, maybe even frightened, by this old Simeon who comes right at them when they walk in the door of the temple and reaches out to take this child in his arms. And he begins to sing with ecstatic revelation. He sings, though, not like the angels announcing Jesus' birth, not like the shepherds in awe and wonder. He's not singing of angels or mangers, but rather Simeon is singing of letting go, of departing. To tell the truth, Simeon is singing of his own death, of his dying. So why does Simeon sing this odd Christmas carol to this family? It's because in that child, he sees the fulfillment of the promise that was made to him and to all the Israelites of old, that God's promise of salvation was coming true. And his eyes seeing that salvation in the person of Jesus, he was able to face his own death now with courage. In the liturgy of the church, we have sometimes sung this song, Simeon's song, as an after communion song. And it seems that that makes a lot of sense, because in this meal that we share, we too see and touch and taste, experience Jesus as our Savior and the promise that God has made to us. That promise comes true in our receiving communion. Then we are sent out like Simeon. We are sent out to live then courageous and holy lives, lives that are marked with death and loss. So Simeon sings this odd song. I'm thinking that Mary and Joseph would be quite confused by this, wondering, what is this about? And then Simeon turns and says to Mary, probably as he hands the child back to her, "And a sword of sorrow will pierce your soul." What does that mean? What does Mary make of that? And while she's still kind of wondering what just happened here, another senior person of the temple, Anna, this woman who is, I didn't figure it out, how old would she be? She's been a widow for 84 years and she was married 8 years and she probably got married when she was 15. And so she's an older woman. She lives in the temple day and night. And she comes up and she too starts her singing. But her song is not of death, not of departure. Her song is a song filled with praise, filled with thanksgiving. She can see and receive this Christ child as a sign that God keeps God's promises, and all she can do is respond in thanksgiving. I'm always a little disappointed in the world, in our culture, in our society, that the minute December 25th ends, Christmas is over. What is this, 12 days of Christmas? They're done. At least we get to keep them in the church. I heard, as listening to Christmas music on Christmas Day as I drove over here in the morning, and the radio announcer was so happy. She said, "We are so pleased to bring you nonstop Christmas music until 3 p.m. today." But Christmas ends at 3 p.m. on Christmas Day. You'd be hard-pressed to find a channel that's playing Christmas music today. And you know, we've still got more celebrating to do. And lucky this year, we get two Christmas Sundays in the church year. We have the opportunity to continue to sing with Anna and with Simeon, those songs of praise and thanks, songs of with joyful voices and uplifted hearts. There's one Christmas song that our hymnal has that we usually don't sing because it's kind of sad. I heard it last night. I attended the Christmas Carol, and they used this song in the Christmas Carol. But I think we do need to sing it, because it reminds us that Christ came not only for the joyful and the happy, but also for those who are despairing. God comes to us in the bleakness of our life and of our world. Holidays are a mixture of joy and sorrow, reunion and conflict, hopes and disappointments, companionship and loneliness. Some people are spending their holidays fairly certain that this will be their last Christmas. There are those who are in very dark places with depression or addiction. Many of us despair over the bleak headlines in the news, missing airplanes and violence against neighbor. For these reasons and more, we desperately need to hear our lament sung along with our praise. This song reminds us that God comes to us precisely when we are broken, where we are broken. I'd like to invite you to sing a few Christmas songs that we don't get to sing only for these few days. Let's not put away our Christmas yet. We'll just sing the first verse of a few songs. So we're going to call this what's your favorite? What's your favorite? So we're starting with the one I was just talking about, In a Bleak Midwinter. It's number 294. 290.
So if that's a sad Christmas song, how about a jolly Christmas song? 297, just turn the page. There's only one verse of it. You probably never sung this song. It's an African-American traditional Christmas song, but it's fun. It's really fun. So
I'll play it all the way through.
Okay.